This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this week on Thursday at noon Pacific to get in on the action.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Wes Goldberg here, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, coming to you on a Monday edition of Locked On Warriors. We are going to have a mailbag today. So I'm going to take several questions that you guys submitted via email, Twitter, Instagram DM, Twitter DM. You guys find ways to reach me all the time. So I gathered a bunch of questions. Most of them are draft related. Remember, we do this every Monday here on Locked On Warriors. This is your chance to dictate the show and engage directly with your questions. So let's just jump right in to the very first question. This one comes from Jacob, who writes in, Adam Stenko recently was on a podcast with Chad Ford. That's right, Chad Ford's NBA Big Board, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and said that he took notice that the Warriors staff was absolutely in love with Davion. Do you think this is true, or have you heard anything similar from people around the organization? Now, I got this question, and today I saw another report from Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report saying that the Warriors front office is split on Davion Mitchell. Now, here's what I can tell you. I think that fans a lot of time look at these reports and say, oh, the Warriors either like or don't like this player. This Warriors front office is made up of several different kinds of people who have different opinions. And so depending on who you talk to in that front office, you can get very different, you can hear very different things about who it is that the Warriors like. Just look back to last year, right? The Warriors had the number two pick. And there were a lot of things out there about whether or not they like James Wiseman, whether or not they like Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball. I could tell you, the Warriors weren't sold, and I wrote about this for the Mercury News. The Warriors were not sold on James Wiseman until they had dinner with him in Miami about a month before the draft actually happened. And yet before that dinner, there were people who had James Wiseman number one on their personal big board who worked for the Warriors. Now, that doesn't mean that the Warriors as an organization or that even Bob Myers had Wiseman as this top guy or was comfortable taking Wiseman at number two regardless. Now, I can tell you this now, how it works within that upfront office. Each scout, each person who is tasked and has some responsibility concerning the draft puts together their own big board, right? And then Bob Myers takes all those big boards, consolidates them, and uses them when building his own big board. So again, depending on who you talk to, there might be one evaluator that has Davion Mitchell as their seventh best prospect, as ESPN and The Ringer and The Athletic all have Davion Mitchell listed as seventh best prospect in this draft. And another evaluator could have him out of his top 10 because he's not totally sold on Davion Mitchell, whether it's because of his lack of size. He's only 6 feet, 6 foot four wingspan, which is smaller than what you would hoped. And then, you know, maybe they're not, and they think that that could somewhat limit his upside, right? And then you're going to have other evaluators in that front office who are all in on Davion Mitchell because of his playmaking, because of his feel, because of his competitiveness, because of his production, his track record for winning. We know that there are people in the Warriors front office who like that. Look at Eric Paschal. Look at players that they've drafted in the past. They like to get productive players. But they're also not shy on drafting for upside either, like we know, with a guy like James Wiseman, for example. So where the Warriors are on Davion Mitchell, I can't say. And when you hear things like, oh, the Warriors front office is split on Davion Mitchell, that's a whole lot to do about nothing. They're split on basically every player, okay? Like, Cade Cunningham is the consensus number one. I would imagine that every evaluator in the Warriors front office has Cade Cunningham at number one, but what if one of them has Evan Mobley at number one? Maybe one of them has Jalen Green at number one. It doesn't mean that they're suddenly split on Cade Cunningham as if they wouldn't consider taking him. People hear split on prospect and they're like, oh, well, maybe they won't take him. No, They just have him evaluated a little differently. And ultimately, it will be Bob Myers' call. And there is a lot of work to be done between now and the draft on Davion Mitchell and on every prospect. And the Warriors will blow smoke. But the one thing I do believe, every time I hear anything from that front office, Bob Myers publicly will say this, and people will say this privately, off the record, things like that. They really do believe that they don't have to make a decision until their name is called on draft night. And they will do their work up until that point. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that is the case. There was debate on draft day last year about whether or not they should take Wiseman. They were prepared to take Wiseman. But there were conversations about other things. Should they trade down? Should they take somebody else? It's all part of the process. And that's not me breaking news, by the way. Don't let that get aggregated or something. That's just the way most front offices operate, and it's the way the Warriors front office operates. And it'll operate that way again. Are they split on Davion Mitchell? Yeah, they're probably split on a lot of the prospects in this draft. But I'll tell you this. If Davion Mitchell is there at 7, as most people expect him to be, the Warriors will strongly consider selecting him. There are some other players that they could take as well. We'll get to that here in the next question. This comes from Murdad. I'd like to hear about a comprehensive comparison of Davion Mitchell and James Bouknight regarding the Warriors' system fit. Now, this is an interesting question because it's not just evaluating these players in a vacuum. It's evaluating how these players would fit in Golden State. That's what we're going to talk about here next. But first, Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but unlike most protein bars, it actually tastes good. And it's good for you. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they have plenty of delicious flavors available now. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite flavor right now is salted caramel. It tastes like a candy bar. It tastes like a Snickers or a Twix or something. One of these chocolate bars with caramel inside. And I love the strawberry chocolate. The raspberry chocolate is a longtime favorite of mine. But right now, I've been chomping on the salted caramel. And I did just buy a new box of mint brownies. So I'm going to check that out maybe this afternoon. If you don't have a favorite yet, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two each, 9 flavors. Not only is Built Bar the best tasting protein bar around, it's healthy too. Check out these macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein. That's great. Calories ranging from 130 to 180 grams. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. And only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. That's every diet, basically, that we're talking about. That fits on every diet. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off on your next order. Again, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA finals coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Let's continue on with our mailbag from this question from Merdad, who writes in, I'd like to hear about a comprehensive comparison of Davion Mitchell and James Bouknight regarding the Warriors' system fit. So let's start with Bouknight because I talked about Davion Mitchell a little bit already. So here's the thing with Bouknight. 6'5", 6'8", a little bit more, like 6'8 and a quarter wingspan. That's what he was measured at draft combine a few weeks ago. Explosive athlete. Smooth ball handler. Can play above the rim. Projects as an immediate scorer at the NBA level. And that's one of the reasons why he's one of the fastest risers in the draft process right now. My concern with him, 31% career three-point shooter at UConn. Not a great passer or playmaker, not an efficient one. He had more turnovers and assists in college. That worries me. And yeah, he's 6'5", he's got a 6'8 wingspan. He could develop into a good defender, but that does not mean he will. He has no track record for being a high-end defender. Off the ball, I have my questions. On the ball, he's not all that productive. And we see this time and time again. Oh, he's 6-something, whatever. He's got the size to be a good defender. Does that player become a good defender? Sometimes they don't. It's not enough just to have size. Now, I think in switching scheme, he's 6'8". Yeah, maybe he can work in a team defense, but there's lapses off the ball. He allows guys to cut by him, things like that. And so those would be my concerns with Boob Knight. Mitchell, meanwhile, probably the best on-ball defender in this draft. At the point of attack, this is a guy who could be like prime Eric Bledsoe, Lou Dort type, Kyle Lowry type. And when you go down the list of elite point guard defenders who play the point guard position, okay, those guys tend to be undersized. And so they don't tend to be good defenders. The list of high-end elite defenders at point guard is really short. I kind of gave you half of it right there. Lowry, Bledsoe, Lou Dort. You could think of a handful of others. Not many. Not ones who play exclusively point guard. Davion Mitchell is going to be part of that group. Probably right away. Elite competitor. Great IQ. Great feel for the game. Takes pride on the defensive end. That's where he hung his hat, was defense. Until he took a leap on offense in his junior year at Baylor, where he went from a 32% three-point shooter or something like that to a 45% three-point shooter and emerged as a three-level scorer, good finisher, and a below-the-rim athlete, not an above-the-rim athlete. There are concerns about his upside on as far as his athleticism is concerned. But the dude can score. My one concern with Mitchell would be the free-throw percentage. It's still not great, so I think you wonder whether or not it's an anomaly or not, but I had Chad Ford on my podcast a few weeks ago. It was actually the very first YouTube show we did. And he said he's not worried about Davion Mitchell's shooting stroke, that he loves it. It looks good. And look, I know a little bit about this stuff, but I'm not Chad Ford when it comes to this stuff, okay? If he says Davion Mitchell's stroke is fine, I believe him. So that's the thing with Mitchell. Now, the concerns are very tall. 6 foot with shoes, 6'4" wingspan. Athletically, does not have that upside that Boob Knight has. But he's a really good playmaker. He makes the right decision more times than not. I think defensively, he could still play, despite the lack of size, he could play in a lineup with Steph and Klay Thompson. Because Klay Thompson can go guard bigger guys. And then Mitchell can guard the opposing point guard, and Steph's going to be on the floor regardless. So I think he could work. I think he can work in that kind of system defensively. And he's got the IQ to be on a string when it comes to switching and playing team defensive schemes and all those things. So as far as how those guys would fit within the Warriors, Boob Knight would be interesting if they want to make the upside play. If they believe that they could turn him into a great playmaker and a great defender. And if they want to win, if they want to run more pick and roll next year, and I talked about that on a show last week, why the Warriors should run more pick and roll, you can find that in your podcast feed or on the YouTube channel, Locked On Warriors. If they do indeed want to run more pick and roll next year and incorporate James Wiseman in that way, possibly off the bench, then Boob Knight makes a lot of sense there, right? Because you could just get him going downhill, finishing at the rim, two vertical threats, Boob Knight and Wiseman running that pick and roll. That could be really interesting. So that, I think he would make sense there. But the other part of it too is, if you want that skill set, you can go find that free agency, man. Like, Lou Williams is going to be a free agent. You can go pay him. You can go pay Lou Williams. You can get that same player with a proven track record in the NBA who we know can do that at the NBA. But we don't know for sure that he could do that. Mitchell, meanwhile, it's a much more novel skill set. I mentioned the short list of players who can defend at a high level at that position. You can't just go find that in free agency. Elite point guard defenders in free agency this year, it's Kyle Lowry, and that's it. End of list. And the Warriors aren't getting Kyle Lowry. So if you want that, and if you want a point guard who can do things offensively, because Mitchell can run the pick and roll for you. He can do that for you. He probably doesn't have the upside that Boob Knight has from a size perspective and playing above the rim and finishing at the basket, but he could do these other things for you, and he could play in the open floor. And then defensively, he gives you something that you don't otherwise have. And so I have said this over and over again. The Warriors should approach this draft as if it were an extension of free agency. What do you need to add to your roster and how can you best acquire that? And if the Warriors feel as if they need a good defender at the guard spot, because they have Jordan Poole, right? Let's not forget, Jordan Poole is kind of that sixth man. Can he rock and roll for us, be a microwave scorer off the bench? If you draft Book Knight, what do you do with Jordan Poole? I mean, it doesn't hurt to have more scorers. But if you're looking for something less redundant and more supplementary, then I think and more complementary, I think Mitchell makes way more sense. Maybe he doesn't have the upside a lot of people think he does. I still think that he has a lot of upside. I don't think we talk enough about basketball feel when we talk about upside, right? Donovan Mitchell went 13 because people had similar concerns as they do with Davion Mitchell. Now, that's not a reason to draft Davion Mitchell. But just because he's a junior, just because he's 22, just because of the size, all that stuff, yeah, maybe it does cap his ceiling when we're talking about can he get to be one of the best 10 players in the NBA or something. But the Warriors don't need one of the best 10 players in the NBA. They have that, right? They have stuff. So I would just draft the guy who you think can play and contribute meaningfully more immediately. And to me, it's a no-brainer that that's Davion Mitchell. So I would go with Mitchell. All right, we got another question about Josh Giddey and some other, and then we'll get to a lightning round of mailbag questions next. But first, let's talk about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA playoffs are on, and even though the Warriors aren't a part of it, you can be. Take a look at the spreads, money lines, over-unders, and more at BetOnline. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all of the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Starting July 19th, check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all of the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. All right, let's finish up our mailbag with our last few questions. This one comes from DXVid underscore LTD on Twitter. Josh Giddey can play with Steph or Poole. He could be the next poor man's Luka Doncic or a Gordon Hayward. And unlike Book Knight, he fits Kerr's motion offense. Can we make a serious argument for Golden State to draft Josh Giddey? All right, in regards to the Luka Doncic, Gordon Hayward comparisons, I don't love those comparisons. Giddey is not the scorer that Luka is, not the scorer that Gordon Hayward was, even coming out of Butler. But I do think that there is a more appropriate comp for Josh Giddey, and that's LaMelo Ball, okay? So, like LaMelo, Josh Giddey, oversized point guard. Giddey's 6'8", Ball's 6'6". Ball came into the draft at like 180 pounds, something like that. Giddey, I believe, is at 205 right now. So he's 6'8". Innate basketball feel, playmaking skills, high-level passer, facilitator, ran pick and roll in the NBL like a champ, showed flashes of some three-point shooting, even though, like LaMelo, not a great three-point shooter on average. He shot about 31% last year from three-point range. But like LaMelo in the NBL, LaMelo packed the box score. Giddey did the same thing, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists per game last year in the NBL. So all those things are just like LaMelo, and his shortcomings are like the concerns we had about LaMelo, the same concerns we have about Giddey. Can that three-point shot translate? Defensively, can he be a good one-on-one defender? Now, LaMelo overcame all of those things in Charlotte and ended up becoming the Rookie of the Year and a franchise player for them, the guy that they're going to build around. Now, I don't know that Giddey is that level of flash, that level of playmaker, that level of swagger. I don't know that he has that. But watching a few highlights, and I haven't watched a ton of film on Giddey, I'll admit, but I've watched highlights and I've read up on Giddey quite a bit. It feels like there is a certain flash and swagger to his game. He's not making all those behind-the-back things and all that fun stuff that LaMelo does, the oohs and ahs and all those things. But he's just really good vision, really solid passer, tends to make the right decision, will sometimes do it slowly, right? But does have the ability to play in the open floor and make quick decisions, especially when he's near the basket. At 6'8", he'll go up and he'll make a drop-off pass, find the guy in the corner, find the guy that's cutting. Like, he right pass. And for the Warriors, this is a team that is in desperate need of playmaking and finishing. And at 6'8", Giddey will be a good finisher at the NBA level. And he's obviously a really good maker already. I really like Josh Giddey. I love the idea of Giddey at 7. I do. Defensively, he's, again, 6'8", he has length. Doesn't necessarily have the track record of playing great defense, but there's a thing in the NBL where you're not really, and we saw this with LaMelo, you're not really challenged to defend in that league right now. Andrew Boga told me this last year. You're not challenged to defend at the NBL level. In the NBA, obviously, we know that that's different. So if Giddey were to get drafted by the Warriors or to any NBA team and challenged to play more defensively, then yeah, I think he could do it. And I think there's something to be said about getting a guy who played in a professional setting in his first year. We saw how that helped LaMelo as a rookie. I think that could help Giddey as a rookie, and that's important for Warriors and that needs to win now. Find guys who can help right now. I think Giddey could potentially do that. My concern with him is whether or not he can function off the ball. Because as good as LaMelo was in Charlotte, he was handed the keys on offense. We know that that would not have been the case in Golden State. That's Steph's team, that's Draymond's team. What would LaMelo have looked like with the Warriors last year? It wouldn't have been the same, I promise. We don't know. He probably wouldn't have won Rookie of the Year. Anthony Edwards probably takes it. I'm not saying he wouldn't have been as good of a player, wouldn't have the upside, or would have been the wrong pick, the right pick. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, wouldn't have been the same as it was in Charlotte. What can Giddey do off the ball? What can he give you when he's not running the offense? I think Giddey can run the second unit offense for you. You play Jordan Poole off the ball, Juan Toscano-Anderson off the ball, let him make corner threes. You can run some pick and roll with James Wiseman. I think it all works. But if you want a guy who can play in a lineup with Steph and Klay and Wiggins and Draymond, which we don't know if the Warriors are looking for that from their seventh pick. They have a mid-level exception, minimum contracts, trades that they could do. They have other ways to go get that kind of six-man. But if they're looking for a guy who can ultimately play alongside those guys, I think Giddey can get there the same way that Andre Iguodala was able to do it, the same way that Sean Livingston was able to do it. But he needs to take a meaningful step from his three-point with his three-point shot and from what he can do defensively. But if there's an upside play to be had, I like Giddey much more than Bouknight at 7. And if you're looking for a guy who you're really comfortable playing right away and getting meaningful minutes from right away, who you know you can use in a variety of different lineups, then I'd take Davion Mitchell. And I still think Mitchell has some untapped upside that the Warriors can find, or whatever NBA team that takes him could tap into. All right, lightning round. Who do you think has the best sneaker game on the team? That comes from at NBA Scots. Look, I wasn't in the locker room last year, but so it's hard to say of newcomers who has the best sneaker game. But I'll tell you this. Eric Paschal has a really solid rotation of Jordans going. And he takes pride in them. And he wears a pair of Jordan 1s almost every day. At least that when I was around the team. Tell me one player. This one comes from at Pay or Stay. Tell me one player that's actually possibly available that's worth Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, and 2 lottery picks. I'll wait. The Damian Lillard rumors haven't stopped, last I heard. So Damian Lillard would absolutely be worth all of those things and more. Damian Lillard would absolutely be worth all of those things. As far as Ben Simmons, no, I wouldn't do it. Like some of these other names that are going around, I probably wouldn't do it. But for Damian Lillard, yeah, sign me up. I won't even blink. Last question comes from Bud. Kevin Love was mentioned in Sexton rumors. Makes sense for Cleveland to defer a buyout with this on the horizon. What's the impact on the Warriors' free agent plans? So as far as the Cavaliers are concerned, it's really hard to trade Colin Sexton because he's on a small rookie deal. So I think the idea from Cleveland would be to package Kevin Love with Colin Sexton and potentially get like a $30 million type of player back. So that'll be the avenue that they explore, and then that opens up things for that number three to take whichever guard is still on the board if they want to go in that direction. So if that's their plan, that's their plan. But they've been trying to trade Kevin Love for a couple of years now. They haven't gotten any suitors. It's just not enough. And I think Colin Sexton is a nice young player, but I don't know that he's worth taking on Kevin Love's contract at what that's at. So we'll see if it works out for them. And that's why I think that ultimately, if the Warriors were to add Kevin Love, I don't know if it happens early on in free agency or in the free agency period at all during the offseason. It might happen just like the Blake Griffin thing happened, where he has to play a week or two and it's just not working out in Cleveland. Then he negotiates a buyout and then he joins a team, you know, early but in the middle of the season. And that might be ultimately the case for the Warriors or whatever team ends up getting Kevin Love, because I don't think he finishes next year in Cleveland. It just doesn't make sense. So as far as the impact on the Warriors and free agency, look, you can't bank on the idea that a player is going to negotiate a buyout. Even if Draymond Green is in Kevin Love's ear and say, hey, man, negotiate a buyout. There's a lot of sides, right? The agent is involved. The team is involved. A lot of things are involved. So it's not just like, oh, Draymond called Bob Myers. Hey, Kevin Love, we're at the Olympics here. Kevin Love says he definitely wants to join the Warriors. He's going to negotiate buyout. All right, cool. But you can't plan on that because anything can go wrong between that and it actually happening. So the Warriors, I don't think this impacts the Warriors' free agent plans at all unless Kevin Love gets bought out sooner rather than later. Free agency starts August 2nd. If Kevin Love gets bought out before or around then move forward and try to go get Kevin Love. But if Kevin Love's not a free agent, you can't assume you're getting Kevin Love. You need to go make moves assuming you're not getting Kevin Love. So go add another big man. Go add another six man. Go get the players who you think you can get, who are available, and who you think can help you get to where it is that you want to go. And then if you get Kevin Love, great. Icing on the cake, but you can't plan for it. Can't plan for it. That'll do it for today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts, including Odyssey, your audio home for your news, sports, music news, everything you need. And of course, subscribe here on YouTube. And if you want to ask questions for future mailbags, email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com or tweet them over to wcgoldberg on Twitter. Again, that'll do it for us today. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you here tomorrow.